1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A 21-year-old member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard arrested, making his first court appearance Friday after being charged in the leak of a trove of classified intelligence documents online. Jack DeShera facing two counts of unauthorized retention and transmission of national defense information and unauthorized removal and retention of classified documents. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
Court records said DeShera began posting classified information on Discord in December, first as paragraphs of text. Then, when he allegedly became concerned he could be discovered copying material at work, he began taking the documents to his residence and photographing them.
Japan's prime minister unharmed after an explosion while he was making an outdoor speech today. A 24-year-old's been arrested. Despite the protests, French President Emmanuel Macron's pension reform officially became law today following approval from the Constitutional Court. It raises the retirement age from 62 to 64 and is strongly opposed by trade unions. This is ABC News. In Japan, police have arrested a man who they say threw the device that exploded this morning just before Prime Minister Fumio Kishida was set to make a speech. No one hurt, but the incident comes just 9 months after former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was assassinated during an outdoor public appearance. A fungus has killed a worker and made others sick at a Michigan paper mill that's closing to clean up.
A contract worker at a northern Michigan paper mill has died from a fungus. It's forced the business to temporarily close for deep cleaning. The health department last month confirmed at least 21 cases of blastomycosis among mill workers, with dozens more probable cases. Several needed hospital care. This at Billerud Paper Mill in Escanaba, which employs more than 800 people. Symptoms are cough, fever, shortness of breath, joint pain, and weight loss. The fungus grows in moist soil and decomposing wood and leaves, says the health department. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988. Then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
UpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A 21-year-old member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard arrested, making his first court appearance Friday after being charged in the leak of a trove of classified...
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers. I have been waiting for this show for weeks. Today we are joined by Governor Tony Evers and Nicole Goebel from the national organization Caregivers Action Network. Joining us first is Governor Tony Evers. Governor, thank you so much for being with us today. Kristen and I started the show because we're both family caregivers to young adults with autism and intellectual disabilities. I'll let Kristen tell her story, but for me, I was a caregiver for my son, which had been one of the most, or is, I should say, one of the most special relationships that I think I've had with another human being, and one of the most gratifying, to be honest. But there definitely has been some areas in my life which being a caregiver has taken its toll. For me, one is the impact that it's had on my overall mental health. There has been some periods, my son is now going soon to be 20, but there's been some periods that I did go through some pretty severe depression and anxiety while caring for him. And then there is also the fact that because I spent most of my days caring for my son, I wasn't working, which resulted in me not paying into Social Security or my other retirement plans. So it leaves some financial uncertainty for our future, at least going forward. How about you, Nicole?
Right.
Or Kristen?
Right. And Governor, we know you've been listening to stories of family caregivers all over the state for quite a while. And I actually participated in one of your listening sessions when you were getting the budget proposal organized. And I was really struck by how responsive you were and your staff was and how many people really had common situations to me. My daughter, Nicole, is 21, and she has autism, epilepsy, and an intellectual disability. And as Liza said, the relationship is really special. I know the universe gave her to me because I needed to learn patience desperately, and she has been testing me on that every day since she's been here. And I also struggled with some physical and mental health challenges that had to take a backseat to her. And then from a professional standpoint, I have been privileged to be one of the MMSD, Madison School District public school teachers since 2000, but I've had to retire early because there's no one to work for Nicole. And so I have to be that family caregiver. I have to fill that gap. And so, you know, we are both so grateful for all the things that you've put into your budget proposal to support family caregivers. It's clear you've been listening to people like us. We believe that you are really a champion on this issue. So my first question for you is why? Why do you feel it's so important to support family caregivers?
Well, there's two good examples.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, and you know, everybody deserves to receive quality, compassionate care, especially when folks are at some really vulnerable points of their life. So that's what we want for our parents, our grandparents, kids, you know, whatever. If they need that kind of support, and that's what we would want for ourselves. So I know that. That you know as well as I do that we're facing a caregiver of crisis in our state, and I think it's really evident. As you know, I've traveled around the state talking to caregivers or doing events like this. And our state population is going to be different than it has been in the past. Our population of folks 65 and older, which includes yours truly, expected to grow by 72% between 2050 and 2040. That's six times higher than the overall Wisconsin population growth of 12% during that same period. So, you know, as a result of that, the demand for long-term care services obviously are going to increase, but also the not only the demand, but that is why, you know, the demand exists now. It's going to obviously increase. So we have to invest in a strong, stable, long-term care system. And most of all, why we have to invest in the workforce that makes that care possible, including sure. family caregivers. At the end of the day, we're always going to need caregiving. So supporting the needs of caregivers is critical for our present and our future needs as a state. And supporting is yes, but you know, I heard you talk about, you know, within the two of you, talking about your stories, it's not just a financial thing. We also need to make sure that access to behavioral mental health for caregivers is an important part of our way that we provide help for caregivers and obviously the people that are in their care.
Yes. You know, 80% of all people needing care are given that care by unpaid family caregivers. And we see the results of that with Kristen's story, right? The school district lost an excellent teacher because there was no one to care for her daughter. So she had to step aside and do that. So my question for you are, what are your thoughts on how we can best combat the paid caregiver or direct care provider crisis?
Yeah, well, we have to pay them more and pay them or pay them more if they are in a situation that they're paid. So I've been proud to have had two budgets where in one biennium we had $230 million to support workers who provide direct care to Wisconsinites and over $180 million to increase that direct and personal care rates, including for family caregivers. And obviously the pandemic has made all of this even more complex. And so we were fortunate, frankly, that the federal government stepped up and we were able to make some decisions around that. So we directed over $200 million of our federal pandemic relief funds to those who were caring for our most vulnerable residents. And during such a tough time, including our nursing homes, long-term care providers, and home and community-based service providers. And we also increased by 5% rate increase for home and community-based services using ARPA funds to provide another boost. But now, you know, we have a $7 billion surplus in the state, and we're trying our darndest to convince the legislature to use some of that money to really take this to the next level. My budget proposes $88 million to increase direct care rates for family care, $88 million for personal care rates, and $150 million to make sure that we are in a position to really do the right thing for these folks that need that help. And so I believe we're headed in the right direction, but I can tell you that you know, it's going to take some effort on the parts of the people of Wisconsin. And frankly, I'm hopeful that the people that you share this conversation with, both myself and the next person, to make sure that people get to the legislators and get to the legislators across the state of Wisconsin, not just your hometown people, but we need to have the Joint Finance Committee in particular to understand how important caregiving is and how it's really important that we provide the resources that they deserve.
Yes, thanks, Governor. Our family actually did benefit from your designation of some of those federal funds to increase some of the pay for the people that were supporting Nicole and for us when we were able to support Nicole. So thank you for that part. It's clear that you understand that money is part of what needs to be done here. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the Joint Finance Committee, and we've had quite a few legislators on to talk about this with us and to help us educate people about how to get to them and how to keep telling the stories. But I think you're probably going to have a little bit more of a unique insight that hopefully you can share with us on what is the problem from the Republican side in seeing how this is a bipartisan issue, right? It's a crisis that's impacting everyone. And so do you have something more that we can do than just keep talking to our legislators? Is there a distinct message? Is there an argument to give back to the Republicans or to hear from them on how to make some changes?
Yeah, and that is... I mean, there's a lot of people in the legislature that never have either needed to personally provide care or, have had loved ones in a nursing home or, in that situation. And so there's not a good way to do it other than to say this is especially using personal stories. I think it's important and having them understand that taking care of a family member just doesn't happen. I mean, people just don't show up at your door and say, I want to help. A lot of times it's on your own and to making sure that people get it, that that it isn't a, I don't think, I'm trying to put it in the context. It's not a Republican or Democratic issue. It's not whether I'm a Democrat or they're a Republican. It's a priority. Everybody should know, and with the aging population, I can't believe there isn't a legislature who knows of someone in their lives that needs care of a caregiver. And many of them may have that situation at home, but I don't think so. The way that they have responded, they kind of responded the same way last time, but they ended up putting money in the budget. So I do believe that it is a bipartisan effort. It's just that they have other things to worry about, like elections. But at the end of the day, this is about elections, and we want to be on the right side of things because this is an important topic and. People need help, and if it doesn't come from the state government, I'm not sure where it's going to come from. We have the ability to do it. I mean, it's not like we have to go out and borrow money to make this happen.
Well, and I love something that we spoke with our representative, Alex Juris, the other day, and he had said, I love how he put it, that you had set the bar really high taking care of us and what you had put in the budget for caregiver requests. So it's going to be hard for those that are opposed to it to not come close, right, to not put something in there. But one thing that I think is on everybody's mind, whether they're a caregiver or not, is the economy. Right. And so I try to look at this from the big picture. What happens if these are, if these asks are not funded? Well, like we've said, kind of over and over with Kristen's situation, you have a veteran master degree teacher that has now had to leave, out of no other choice to take care of her child. But what are some of the other ripple effects that you can foresee coming if we don't address this crisis?
Well, that's just it, and I think this is a realistic argument. We care about, everybody cares about.
If it's handcrafted and healthy, why are you still adding flavoring or sugar to your tea? Develop your palate for diverse teas from around the world at Cultivate Taste in Green Bay. Cultivate Taste is an upscale tea salon open and inviting to all. Its certified tea specialists will infuse you with education about all the expertly sourced teas. Cultivate Taste. Call 920-770-7163. 920-770-7163. Or go to CultivateTaste.com. Cultivate your taste at Cultivate Taste. Green Bay.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, do Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected today with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs around 79. South winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 51. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs around 56. High of 39 Monday with mixed precipitation possible at times. 39 Tuesday. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 62.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
Position, and he took care of tuberculosis patients at a health facility in Sheboygan County. Nice. And we lived on the site, so I had the opportunity to work with people that needed care from a real young age. And then at one point in time in my career, I was when I was in Madison, I worked as a nurse's aide at a nursing home.
Well, Governor Evers, you get it, right? Yes. I mean, that's so clear. So thank you for that. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Never enough time.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Governor.
Thanks. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. Is your teenager anxious about their future? Would you like to see them take control with confidence and excitement? Contact Sarah Deacon, the adulting coach, at sarahdeacon.com and give them the courage to face their next level in life. Sarah Deacon Coaching helps to process decisions, relationships, rejection, and everything else teenagers go through. And it's a judgment-free zone to learn and express themselves. Visit sarahdeacon.com for your free consultation. That's SARADEACON.com.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies expected today with a high of 78. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 53. Overcast skies. Overcast tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 59. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Tammy Jackson, a public policy analyst for the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. If you would like to join the conversation regarding the state budget or what would help you as a family caregiver, give us a call at 1 844-967-2789.
So, Tammy, you're really challenging the social studies teacher in the room because I thought I understood how all this worked, and I barely do. And so it's really getting me aware of the fact that the average Joe and Josephina also don't understand what's going on, because I found out driving to the show tonight that we're not even talking about the governor's proposed budget anymore. So can you help me and the listeners understand what we're actually talking about at these listening sessions and what we're trying to actually do with this budget, please?
Sure. You are part of shaping what this end product is going to be right now. The budget process is a multi-month process. And what happened in February is that the governor introduced the first draft of the budget. Oftentimes, except for last session and this session, the legislature will use the governor's budget that has been introduced as their starting point. That didn't happen this time. The legislature has decided to write their own version of the budget, and their starting point from which they will start to make edits to the budget, that's what literally what we're doing, is the budget that passed 2 years ago. Sometimes you'll hear about it as the base budget. So all of the changes that were in the governor's proposal, those aren't part of what passed 2 years ago in the base budget. So anything the governor that was in the governor's budget, still possible, but you have to add it back in.
Okay.
Or there could be new ideas or better ideas or ideas, you know, that aren't, you know, things that are taken away. The editing process is very fluid, and you can be a real part of determining what ends up in that final document.
Okay, so what I need some help with then is, I'm a family caregiver. I would like the legislature to understand some of the things that are challenges for me. It's a great opportunity for me to have a really special relationship with my daughter, but it has caused me financial problems. It's caused me health problems. And most importantly, it's caused me to retire early from being a classroom teacher. So that has got a ripple effect, right? Because now an employer has been impacted as well. So what can I go to the legislature and expect from them, though? I don't know what I don't know, and I don't know what I can ask for as a family caregiver. Can you help me figure out how I would craft my story in a way that is relevant so that I'm not just sitting up there? It's not my style, nor do I think it's effective to sit up there, get a microphone and cry about my story, right? And say, oh, I want you to all feel bad for me, because that's not really their job, and nor is that the purpose of the tax dollars. So what's an effective way for me to use that microphone and my experience?
So you know what? You are halfway there already with just what you said. Let's do a little refining.
Okay.
What you just said is really this beginning of an elevator speech, which you can use anytime, anywhere, with anyone, including in a joint finance hearing, but also in an email to your elected officials. An elevator speech is a quick introduction to you that establishes your credibility, your connection to disability and family caregiving issues, and summarizes, you know, what that means to you, right? Mm-hmm. So you say your name, where you live, your connection, and really what you were talking about is the impact family caregiving has had on your life. And I heard you say I had to leave my job early. I would flesh that out a little bit. I left my job as a social studies teacher where I was expecting to at least work 5 more years because I couldn't find anybody else to help me. That is a very tangible thing that the legislator goes, oh, you left the workforce. We have a teacher shortage. We lost a teacher who we could have had for 5 years because there was no other worker to help.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A 21-year-old member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard arrested, making his first court appearance Friday after being charged in the leak of a trove of classified intelligence documents online. Jack DeShera facing 2 counts of unauthorized retention and transmission of national defense information and unauthorized removal and retention of classified documents. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
Court records said DeShera began posting classified information on Discord in December, first as paragraphs of text. Then, when he allegedly became concerned he could be discovered copying material at work, He began taking the documents to his residence and photographing them.
Japan's prime minister unharmed after an explosion while he was making an outdoor speech today. A 24-year-old's been arrested. Despite the protests, French President Emmanuel Macron's pension reform officially became law today following approval from the Constitutional Court. Raises the retirement age from 62 to 64 and is strongly opposed by trade unions. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. It's a third straight day of red flag warnings in Wisconsin. Wardens say they responded to 21 wildfires yesterday. The biggest was 3,000 acres in Monroe County. They're calling the Arcadia Fire. Governor Evers declared a state of emergency this week. A judge in Waukesha is increasing the amount of money Darryl Brooks owes his victims to more than $500,000. Prosecutors say there's a chance Brooks could sell the book or movie rights to his story and make money. Brooks is serving six life sentences for driving through the Waukesha Christmas parade crowd in 2021. In sports, the Bucks find out their first-round playoff opponent tonight. It'll either be Miami or Chicago. The Brewers beat San Diego last night 4-3. Eric Lauer starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over
on.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Hey, 420 friends, did you know Cheech and Chong was coming into town?
No, I'm just kidding.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes are celebrating this 420 season just right. Whether you shop online at knuckleheads.shop, go into their store, or order online for in-store pickup, they are now offering their 420 discount, which is 25% off their delicious Delta 8 and 9 Galaxy edible gummies and their XL brand flower. So shop online at knuckleheads.shop today, or stop on into their Madison and Milwaukee locations.
550 State Street in Madison and 2949 North Oakland Avenue in Milwaukee.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Hi, this is Lindsay Kynard at 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK The Shaw. Here are upcoming events happening in the area. Come celebrate 414 Day this Friday, April 14th, with various exciting events and activities throughout downtown Milwaukee. Take part in shuffleboard or axe throwing at the North Shore Club at 230 East Pittsburgh Avenue in Walker's Point, which is presented by Bars and Recreation. Love to sing? Well, come sing your heart out at Amped, located at 910 West Juneau Avenue, and take advantage of special 414 Day pricing for karaoke. And finally, don't forget to visit the Milwaukee Admirals this weekend to celebrate our great city at the UW-Milwaukee Panthers Arena, where the Admirals play the Chicago Wolves starting at 7 p.m. If you have an event you'd like us to share, let me know. Email me, Lindsay Kynard, at info@civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Liza Hellenbrand and Kristen Voss. We're talking with Tammy Jackson, a public policy analyst for the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, about items in the budget that impact family caregivers. And we would love to know what would impact you the most. What changes would you like to see? Give us a call at 1-844-967-2789 to join the conversation. Before commercial, we were talking about the direct care. What do you call the paid caregiver? I know we use a different term.
We call them direct service professionals, or DSPs.
Direct service professionals. Crisis.
We cannot use an acronym.
Yes.
We have to use an acronym.
Yes, exactly. Good. Thank you.
So you had some interesting statistics when it came to the direct care service
professionals.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that and why that would be a great place for us as caregivers to focus?
Well, one of the things that we hear very often from family caregivers is there's nobody to hire.
Exactly.
Right? There's no one to hire. They were already doing a good portion of what needed to be done, because 80% of the care is provided by family caregivers. But that 20% provided by a paid caregiver, that's really big.
Exactly.
And when you don't have anybody to hire for that, that means you're doing it all. And a lot of times that has a ripple effect on your whole life. So there was a survey done across the nation. Our state participated, and it kind of boiled down, okay, what's happening across the landscape? Because our situation in Wisconsin is not unique. Every state in the nation has an extreme shortage of paid caregivers, which we rely on to keep people in their homes and out of nursing homes. And frankly, nursing homes rely on these kinds of workers too, to serve the people who are living in those facilities. And there aren't enough of them. And what we found in Wisconsin is there's a 50% turnover of workers every year. That means every year, half of the folks are new.
Right, exactly. And that's definitely something we saw in our family. I mean, over and over, I've said on the show, and I've said to people, we're lucky that Nicole is able to get all kinds of funding to help us, but we can't find the people to help us or to help her. So like you said, we were 80% of her care. Now we're 99.2%. Like, we've got 4 hours of respite care that we've got this dear, sweet young woman willing to do just because she likes Nicole. Because as you've shared with us here, the average worker wage is $13.53. That's about what Liz is getting too. That is the lowest pay among Midwestern states.
And just to be clear, like, the other Midwestern states aren't stars either. So, you know, if you get 50 cents more in Indiana, I don't think that, you know, they have a low retention rate too. And it shows in how many unfilled positions there are at any given time. The Wisconsin data shows that almost 16% of full-time positions and 18% of part-time positions are unfilled. So you have a constant vacancy all the time, as you have this high turnover rate. It's kind of a constant churn and a constant absence of, you know, bodies to do the work.
Well, and not only is the pay incredibly low, most of the time, these employers don't offer health insurance or paid time off or anything to do with the paid caregivers' children as far as child care goes. So what are some solutions?
So I think there are a few. One is it's kind of the trifecta of how do you think differently about how you accurately reflect the pay and build in automatic pay increases for this category of worker. And to me, there's kind of three core elements for that. Create a statutory formula that really drives the funding mechanism here. Are you accounting for the cost of inflation? Because costs do rise. And the answer right now is no. But that seems like an important thing to think about. I think a second piece is, are you paying people enough that they can actually live in the areas that they're working? Some people refer to that as a living wage. I think that's pretty important, because if your pay rate will not help somebody afford transportation costs or a place to live in the area that they work, then they're going to be looking for a different job that will do that because they have to. Mm-hmm. And I think the third one, and this is super important, is, are you paying this group, and I will call them healthcare workers because that's the duties that they're doing. Are Excellent. You paying them a market wage, which means what are people in the private sector in healthcare facilities who are doing similar kinds of work, what are they being paid? And are they being paid more than the direct service professionals? The answer is yes. So if you have inflation, living wage, market wage, as all the factors that you're using to calculate what should a salary be, I think you get a lot closer to stabilizing and creating positions that people actually want to be in. And I'll say it this way. Taking care of a cash register is not the same as taking care of a person. And yet this workforce can go to a fast food chain and make $4 to $5 an hour more. And we shouldn't ever be making that comparison, because these are skilled workers who are doing healthcare work. They're not doing, the service that they are doing is fundamentally different from retail. So we got to stop doing the cash, that comparison. Taking care of people, not the same as a cash register.
And wasn't there some proposals out there as far as having the paid caregiver workforce, the people that want to become doctors or work in the medical profession, having them have to do a certain amount of time in this paid workforce, or, also having the paid care providers being able to earn credits or different things to go towards nursing licensure and things of that sort. Is that something that's being thrown out there as well?
There's a number of things that are really trying to get at that. They call it a career ladder, right? And it's an approach where, how do you get people who might be interested in the field in the front door and learning? Maybe you cover their education costs. How do you build in some way for them to be financially rewarded for increasing skills? But the reality is, this group of workers, at least as how we fund them now, is completely reliant on a Medicaid rate, which the state legislature sets every 2 years. So there is a lot of interest in trying to figure out, how do you reward people for staying longer, for having more skills, for other things, or to maybe get them into a higher healthcare profession ladder. And I think the challenge is, all of that stuff hits the wall if the end pay rate is going to be static and it's not enough for people to live on.
Exactly. So I think what you've really helped me understand in these last few minutes, Tammy, so let me just recap, is this idea that the state legislator and my fellow taxpayers should care about my crisis by not being able to hire people to help me with Nicole, because there's going to be a point in time where they're going to need a direct service professional, whether it's for themselves, a spouse, a child, or more likely aging parent, right? So these folks that we're talking about are professionals. And I love how you're saying they're healthcare professionals. And it is not, I keep, you know, saying this over and over, this is not to diss my son's job at Pasquale's. I love that Andy's a server at Pasquale's. I love that your son is working at
wherever he's working.
Right.
Chipotle.
Chipotle. I was like, it's another Mexican place. But they are making more than the direct care professionals. And one's in high school and one has just graduated from high school. So where is the incentive for somebody who does want to do the kind of caregiving work and the kind of healthcare work that direct service professionals are doing? Where's the incentive for them to do this when they're not able to even compete with taking care of a cash register, right? From a logical standpoint, you wouldn't go do the lower paid job. But I love how you're saying, so it's not just so much that we want to give them a little bit more right now. We want to create, you said, a statutory formula.
How do we solve the problem permanently?
Right.
Right.
What does that mean, a statutory formula?
It means, how do you calculate how much money the state should be putting in?
Okay.
To support those workers.
Because the majority of this work is being done in public service sectors, right?
Yes. For anybody who's in family care or IRIS, or even if you're in a nursing home, the workers who are caring for those people, they're being paid for primarily out of Medicaid dollars.
Right. And I don't think most people know that until they're facing it. I just had an interesting conversation with a friend at lunch yesterday about her mom being in a memory care unit and not really understanding that, oh, the money's going to run out. So then what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to have to rely on family care. And that's a Medicaid paid program, right? And so therefore, you're not going to get any control over where mom goes, how much mom's workers get paid, so on and so forth, right? It's all going to get dictated by Medicaid. Am I accurate?
Yeah, the Medicaid rate is the Medicaid rate. And I think what you're describing, which I'm, you know, lots of people I know are going through the same experience. Yes, you can private pay, and you will pay at a higher rate than Medicaid offers. But at some point, the money runs out. And most people, frankly, get poor enough to be qualified for Medicaid, because Medicaid is a poverty-based program. And what they find is that a lot of facilities, you know, at least in the nursing home world, they would really prefer to get paid more
right.
than what Medicaid is offering.
Well,
It's unless we stabilize the entire workforce, you really run the risk of there's no place to go.
Exactly.
Like, you can't go home, and there's no place else to go either.
Yep.
And once the money goes out, you know, as a non-private pay individual, you have very few options.
Mm-hmm. And is that one thing that you could go to these hearings and speak about, just the expansion of the Medicaid and the federal dollars? I remember reading something not that long ago that like 75...
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTR-CM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected today with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs around 79. South winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 51. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs around 56. High of 39 Monday with mixed precipitation possible at times. 39 Tuesday. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 62.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
It's expensive to pay a direct care worker a living wage to keep somebody in their home than it is going to be to put them in a nursing home or an institution on the taxpayer's dime.
Absolutely. No doubt. That's why we have family care. That's why Governor Thompson actually created the Blue Ribbon Commission, because they saw in 30 years ago that we were on an unsustainable path.
Right.
And everybody voted with their feet. We all want to live in our own homes, not in a nursing home if we can help.
Exactly. We'll be back in just a moment to finish up our conversation with Tammy and how we can keep getting support from our legislators.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Don't settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured, with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com. Or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Weather brought to you by Next Tech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit nexttechglass.com. That's nexttechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies today with highs around 78. South winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 53. Overcast skies tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 59. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza Hellenbrand, and I'm here with my co-host Kristen Voss, and we just wrapped up speaking with Nicole Goble from CAN and
Caregiver Action Network.
Like, how that one wasn't too
well,
difficult.
Because we've had a lot of acronyms running around this last 24 hours.
Yeah, we have had acronym overload.
Yeah.
Which is a real thing. It's a real condition.
It is. Yes. Liza, what did you think about tonight's show? You were so excited.
I was so excited. You know, I am happy that Governor Evers took time out of his day to address this issue. I think it just goes to show that it is an issue near and dear to his heart. And, you know, it's just great to know that there's people out there fighting and working for us every day. And on the CAN front, I just love that website. I think there is really everything that you could need to know listed there. And I didn't know about the advocacy work that they do. And then also what we didn't get to was the fact that they kind of spearhead the National Caregiver Month in November.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's how I found them originally.
Yes.
Right. So you get credit for bringing Governor Evers on. Yeah. And I get credit for getting Nicole on.
There
right?
you go.
And it's because, and what I got out of the show is it was really nice to hear Governor Evers. Well, it was fun to run around all week and say, we've got, right. you know, an opportunity to talk to the governor. We scored this interview. But I think it was great to hear from him that he has some personal experience.
Right.
And he's really tapped into that this is a statewide bipartisan / nonpartisan issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And really, really thoughtful about how it's bubbling right now. And it's only going to get bigger. And so I do really appreciate the fact that he's got that high bar that we're going to have to expect these legislators to rise to. And so I really like that you brought that up with him.
Well, thank you. And I can and I like how they are addressing that. Well, I guess they have to, right? From the budget standpoint, kind of why we do this show, to bring awareness to the fact that we're not looking for a pity party. We're not looking for handouts. We're not looking for anyone to feel sorry for us. What we're looking to do is to educate people when they are caregivers so that they can, self-identify and get the help and support that they need. And that this is a crisis. And if we don't address this on some level, the cards are going to fall, right?
I mean, right. It's a community issue.
Right.
Right. And so it is. It's investing. And what I loved when he made the quick aside, it's like childcare, right?
Right.
It's that if we don't invest in the people within our state, our economy is not going to be sustained, because what our economy is a social construct. And so that means it's people. That's right. All it is. And so if you don't have people working and you don't have people shopping, you don't got an economy. And I really appreciate that Governor Evers sees that, and hopefully the legislature will follow and recognize and the people that are talking to them. And they all keep telling us, share personal stories.
Right.
And I'm really blown away by that. I really feel like that means we have to do it, and we have to keep asking our listeners to do it.
We do. And there are a few more listening sessions that are coming up where you can do that. I should have the information in front of me, and I'll have to post it on our Facebook page, the Empowered Caregiver Community, where those remaining listening sessions are.
One is up in Minocqua, and I don't know if that's the last one. I don't remember if the third one is in the Dells or Eau Claire.
The Dells already happened.
Yeah, right?
The Dells I actually think was today. But you can still reach out via phone, via mail, show up at the Capitol, send an email, and let them know your caregiving story and why this is important to you and how you're impacted by your role as a caregiver.
Right. And they'll be tracking that, and they'll be able to then say, okay, we have to start addressing this in the budget.
Right. Because if nobody shows up to tell the stories when they're when they're deciding where are we going to spend money, well, nobody showed up to say we need money for this. So let's move on to the next thing.
To the many other things that have to be. I mean, we recognize that there's many other things that have to be funded in this state. But this is one that's near and dear to our hearts, and I feel like it truly is an investment. It's a long-term investment.
Exactly. It is an investment, and if we don't, it is going to cost us so much more at the end. It kind of brings me back to the autism days when autism was not covered by insurance, and so kids, young children, toddlers were going untreated, and early intervention for autism is the key. At least that's what I was told back in the day. And if you don't make gains with these children at a younger age, what is that going to look like when they're adults? You can spend all the money now and get them off to be able.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go: shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.